Hello, and welcome to this impromptu coronavirus diary episode of the History of Yugoslav Football podcast. It's come to my mind that obviously while we are talking a lot about what is happening in football in the midst of this pandemic, much of that focus is on a couple of leagues. Most of what you hear is about the English Premier League, and the potential for them restarting behind closed doors or having some sort of super football island. And the Bundesliga starting behind closed doors also. More recently, we've had the Eredivisie confirm that they have ended the season without champions. And obviously, as a Scot, the drama around how this season ends has been going on almost to the point that it obscures the fact that there's a pandemic on in the first place. But obviously what we don't really hear about is about the leagues and the locations that this podcast covers. Obviously we look at the former Yugoslavia, and I'm fairly sure that unless you are actually resident within one of those nations, you've probably not heard anything about what's been going on in any nations that consisted of the former Yugoslavia. So this quick bonus episode is looking to rectify that for you. We'll go north to south with what's going on in each nation. Obviously, there are some nations which I cover mostly when it comes to current football. So I cover online Slovenia, Croatia and Serbia a lot. So obviously, those nations I'll be able to provide a little bit more detail on. And we'll start with Slovenia. Like everywhere else except Serbia, they stopped football around about March the 10th. They are looking to resume. That's expected to be either May the 30th or June the 6th, with the season coming to an end prior to the 25th of July. I believe at the last UEFA meeting, their target was the 22nd of July. So it seems fairly safe that Slovenia will be able to modify their structure to fit within that. Already, all of the leagues below the second tier have been ended. If the leagues can't be completed, it has already been discussed. The likelihood is that the playoff between first and second tier won't happen, so it will just be one up, one down. So obviously that will benefit Koper in the second flight, and it'll be Rudar in the top flight who will be relegated. That also comes out as quite handy, as Rudar, the team who are in the bottom spot in the Prva Liga and who are massively behind everyone else because they haven't won a game all season, are also rumoured to be in quite a bit of financial trouble due to coronavirus. So even if they get to the point where they have to be demoted multiple divisions, as we saw happen with Copera a couple of years ago, it would sort of fit in quite well with what they're planning to do with the season as a whole. Out with coronavirus, obviously the major news has been at NK Maribor. So we saw Darko Milanic and Zlatko Zarevic leave the club in mid-March. And it's been announced this week that the new manager will be the former manager of Croatia's Gorica, Sergej Jakilevic. Obviously that's a appointment that's got a lot of fans excited. My own personal opinion on that, if anyone's interested, is certainly it's a very good appointment. From what we've seen him do at Gorica, I don't think there's too many players in the Maribor squad currently who would fit how he wants to play. I think certainly we'll see probably an improvement in fortunes for Rudy Pojek Vankas, but that's probably about it. So certainly when it comes to the summer transfer window of whatever it is there is this year, it'll be very interesting to see the work he does. I think he'll have a lot to do. The second bit of news that's been going on around it has been around Olympia, because as I will regularly say on Twitter at Timo Mouse, Olympia gonna Olympia. They have been arguing about what exactly they're going to do with pay. To the extent that Milan Mandarić came out and said, do you know what, I'm so sick of you refusing to take a pay cut, I'm just going to quit owning the club this summer, come what may. bat appears to have sharpened minds a bit, and the team have come to some form of agreement. It's not exactly been publicised what, but players have come out and said, don't worry, it's all sorted. So they've had a brief existential crisis this week. They have a brief existential crisis most seasons, so we were overdue for this season's one of those. Aside from that, it's been very great with the other clubs. Mura are doing a bit of redeveloping of the stand. That's about it. When we move south then to Croatia, they came out a few weeks ago with three plans, option one, option two, option three, as to restarting the season. We look to be almost certain that it's going to be option two, which is taken on. Now, that means a resumption of football on May the 30th. So, very similar timeline to what we're going to see in Slovenia. Clubs have been told they can train in groups again. And the league, I say, will definitely be resuming at the end of May. That has to be confirmed by the 5th of May. That's the deadline for them to be able to announce that we're definitely going ahead and doing this. But it seems pretty certain that they will be doing that. See, similarly to Slovenia, the big news outside of coronavirus has been at the biggest club, at Dinamo. And similar to what we saw at Olympia, it's been about pay. Now, to say it's been about pay is possibly a little bit disingenuous. There were issues in sorting out pay proposals between the side and the board, but I think as most will probably appreciate it, the actual issue was around ego between those who run the club, whose surname is Mamic, and manager Nenad Bjelica, who has done an absolutely incredible job, brought through a lot of new players, improved them, put in a tactical style which we're seeing copied in many places, and you know, obviously took them to great success in Europe as well, last season in the Europa League, and this season doing very creditably in the Champions League group stages. His profile essentially became too big for them to tolerate, so they started beef, and Bjelica quit the club. Now, he will land on his feet somewhere at a very good club. If you are an English Premier League club or one of the Big Four leagues fans, then it would be quite a surprise if he didn't turn up in one of those. Now, his profile is far too big. He's far too good a manager to not be given that chance. I think certainly the success at Dinamo was the only thing that was really missing from his CV. He didn't do too great when he was given a chance at, I think it was Austria Vienna a few years ago. But now we've seen him take on that top mid-range club, if you say. Then he's become very successful. He's got that the full package. The manager of the second team, Igor Jovicevic, has been announced as the new manager. Funnily enough, only a week after his father died. So certainly a very mixed period for him emotionally, I'm sure. And it will obviously be very interesting to see how he does. Obviously, the league itself, Dinamo, are far, far too far in front to blow that. But yeah, I mean, we'll certainly have to see how he starts next season, because it's not a promising start to his career as a full-time manager. The only other news in Croatia is around Inter Zaprešić, who are in financial crisis. Again, the side who are generally in financial difficulties, but the backers have completely pulled out. So that is certainly something to keep an eye on as to whether they are actually able to finish the season. In Bosnia, then, training will be permitted from May the 1st. The season is planned to start 4 weeks later. So again, We're talking May the 30th, similar to Slovenia, similar to Croatia, but no date has been confirmed as yet. There haven't really been too much in the way of discussions. Safe to say that this is the plan that's been outlined. Going a little further south to Serbia, there is absolutely zero news on resumption at this point. Lockdown is in Serbia is being extended for the foreseeable future. They're sort of flattening the curve effort has been somewhat behind those countries we mentioned previously, but cases are now starting to drop. They're probably sort of on a similar timeline to the UK in that respect. But as I say, you know, we certainly won't be hearing anything about the resumption of football for a little while yet, until that drop in cases becomes a consistent trend. There's not been too much to say as to the happenings around, save that Napredak have come out and said that they are in financial difficulties because they are owed money by Svena Zvezda for the transfers last year of Aleksej Vukanović. Now, obviously we will hope that Zvezda sort that out. It's also probably fair to say that recent history has shown that calling out Zvezda tends not to get you your money, it just tends to get you their enmity. So it will be intriguing to see what happens with that situation, because certainly we would expect debts to be paid, particularly when you've had 2 years of Champions League money going in to the Lajka Mitic Stadium. Kosovo are just in a weird situation, basically. There are no plans currently to resume the league, but much of that issue is because it's unclear actually how to make a decision to do so. Now, I would obviously assume people won't be keeping up to date with what's going on in the world of Kosovan politics. Essentially, the government fell a few weeks ago, and the general procedure would be, as it would be in any nation, that you have an election and then you have a new government, one way or the other. Now, these a bicameral political setup there has meant that a new government has been proposed and is taking duty, but there obviously hasn't been any will of the people involved in that at all. There's just a new government. And the lack of democracy within that has caused quite a lot of consternation. There are, for the start of May, planned to be some quite large street protests against the current situation, in spite of the coronavirus situation. And it's obviously quite a strange and quite a strained situation for everyone involved there, and one that obviously would probably be worth keeping your eye on the news sites to see exactly what happens there, because there is certainly the potential for some unrest in the region. Going west to Montenegro, again, there are no plans currently to restart football. Lockdown measures are starting to be reduced. Montenegro, as a country, has dealt very well with coronavirus. It hasn't spread too much. They were the last country in Europe to actually see a case, and they entered lockdown measures before they ever had a case. So, unsurprisingly, they've not really been too hard hit by it. I say, because they've sort of taken it so seriously, there's not really been any discussions on how to get out of it at the moment. And finally, North Macedonia. They're at the planning stage of how they're going to resume football, but there's no details available yet. And there's not really anything else to say about it. So that's your lot. See, it's been a very interesting period in the region, not just because of the coronavirus situation, but because of what else has gone on. You know, it's certainly very rare that you have a month in which two of the biggest clubs in the region, you know, Maribor and Dinamo, have a complete change of leadership. And those ramifications will play out over the remainder of 2020, be it that they impact the remainder of the 2019-2020 season, or whether they impact the start of the 2020-2021 season, or whether the coronavirus even allows there to be any of that. So we'll try and do a coronavirus update in the future, basically, when there are updates to go. Probably, I suspect, sometime towards the end of May, when there's actually going to be leagues and football. Just basically to let you know what's starting, when, how it's going to come to a conclusion exactly. So we should be able to go into that in a lot more detail than we can today. So thank you for listening. I hope everyone keeps well, keeps themselves quarantined, doesn't inject bleach or drink fish tank cleaner or anything that Donald Trump has ever recommended. If you do want to keep up with the latest football news from the region, I would always recommend there's a few Twitter accounts to follow. Certainly for I would always recommend following myself, which is Timo Mouse, T-I-M-O-M-O-U-S-E. For anything in the region, for journalists or for websites, if you're looking at Slovenia, Miranzor, or his site Nogomania. For Croatia, you'd be looking at people like Alex Liga, Ivan Zelja. For Serbia, I would always recommend following the at Serbian football account on Twitter. That's a very good Twitter account, and the same sort of applies for Bosnia, Kosovo, and North Macedonia. If you just search, I think for Bosnia it's BIH football, for Kosovo it's Kosovo football, and for Macedonia is Macedonia footy. And finally, for Montenegro, because they don't have one of those, is a gentleman named Vlado Perovic. And most of those accounts do have stuff available in English, or if you're on Twitter, it does actually have an inbuilt translate function, or, you know, at the worst, just copy and paste it into Google Translate, because at the end of the day, with any sources from the region, that's generally what you have to do when your first language is English. I say thank you for listening. I hope you keep well. If you want to leave a review on iTunes or whatever, I'm sure I don't need to explain to you how to do that. You probably listen to enough podcasts to know where to go and what to do, but obviously the more reviews, the more we're able to get out there. And I will see you next time.